I call this meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education on June 28th, 2021 to order. The time is 7:32 p.m. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through public notice on January 8th, 2021. Notice was sent to two newspapers designated by the board, the Express Times and Hunterdon Review. Notices were posted on the district website, the main bulletin board in the administration offices, and in each Clinton Township school. Notices were sent to the clerk of Clinton Township. Attendance, please, Mr. Kramer.
Dr. Brasher?
Here.
Ms. Creighton?
Here.
Ms. Emery? Dr. Grantham?
Here.
Mr. Hornick?
Here.
Ms. Kaltenbach? Ms. Oliver?
Here.
Dr. Yamaki?
Here.
Ms. Brennan?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Ms. Oliver, can you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Of course. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Dr. Miyamaki, can you please be our process guardian?
Yes.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome to the June monthly board meeting. We have a full agenda and lots of events have happened since our last meeting. I'm a little all over the place with what's in my report, but there is just a lot to talk about. On Tuesday, June 15th, our eighth grade graduation was held at North. It was wonderful to see all the students and families celebrating our class of 2021. They were able to keep the student-run ceremony and had many wonderful student speeches. Great job, and we wish the best of luck to all our students as they move up to high school and onto their next adventures. All of our grades had their field days, end-of-year activities, and awards night. Thank you to all of our students and families for pushing through and having understanding during such a difficult year. I'd also like to take this time to thank our entire staff, the administrators, principals, teaching staff, teaching assistants, secretaries, custodians, maintenance, buildings and grounds, technology department, and central office, and anyone I may have inadvertently missed for all your efforts and hard work this year. It does not go unnoticed. We appreciate the flexibility and ability to pivot when plans change. Thank you all. Next is a little bit of housekeeping. A reminder that the deadline to file a petition to run for a seat on the Clinton Township Board of Education is coming up. There is a 2021 school board candidate kit link on the main page of our website if you're interested in finding out more information. Petitions are due to the Hunterdon County Clerk's Office by 4 p.m. on Monday, July 26, 2021. School board elections will be Tuesday, November 2nd, 2021. The board is happy to announce that we will be going back to in-person meetings starting with the August 23rd meeting. We will meet in the CTMS auditorium, same as we previously had done. Between now and then, we are assessing possible options for virtual attendance for the public, in addition to the public being able to attend in person. On the agenda, we are approving the submission to the state of our safe return, plan. I would like to make a special point that what we submitted was based on current orders and information. We have a little over 2 months before we are back in the classroom and there may be changes. Also on the agenda tonight, we will have a presentation by our NJSBA field rep, Ms. Gwen Thornton. She will be going over our board self-evaluation and we will be going over the district and board goals for the 2022 school year with plans to finalize and approve at our next meeting. Next is a statement from negotiations. The negotiations team of the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association are proud to announce that after 6 months of negotiations, we have reached a tentative agreement on terms of a new contract prior to the expiration of the current contract. This agreement, which covers the years 2021 to 2024, will serve the interests of our students, teachers, support staff, and community, and allows our district to move forward. We are pleased that both sides, through diligence and commitment, found ways to address the issues and come to an agreement that was respectful of all stakeholders' interests. The two parties will next work together to develop salary guides and finalize contractual language. The final step will be presenting a full agreement to the CTBOE for approval and the CTEA membership for ratification. Lastly, With the end of the school year also comes with saying goodbye to our staff members who are retiring. Tonight, during the superintendent's report, we will acknowledge 7 staff members who carry over 125 years with our district. Thank you for your years of service, Ms. Jean Allen, Ms. Marlene Anderson, Ms. Roberta Grambor, Ms. Nancy Caldry, Ms. Kathleen Calvin, Ms. Susan Rivers, and Ms. Ruth Steep. We wish you the best in your next adventure. Happy retirement. And with that, I will now hand it over to you, Dr. Roberto, for your superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mrs. Brennan. And again, to the retirees, you did it with grace, professionalism, and talent. And I'm looking at all of you now. You all look good. You're going to look better. You're going to look a lot better. Grambor, you look wonderful. Haircut, you look very nice. It's good to see you again. And as your colleague, I wish you the best. And on behalf of the Clinton Township School District, really, well done. 126 years to be exact. And like I said, you did it with grace, professionalism, and talent. You took care of kids. What greater accomplishment can you say? Really, congratulations and best wishes. Ms. Sicente will be acknowledged in September because she is retiring in October. I'd also like to acknowledge tonight, and our principals will be talking about our retirees at the end of the superintendent's report. Tonight, each board meeting, I acknowledge a group, but tonight, as your interim superintendent, I would like to acknowledge the entire district. As an interim starting a year ago, you come in, you have no agenda, and with COVID, you definitely don't have an agenda. And what I found were people eager and ready to get our district open and to get ready for our kids to re-enter. Tonight, I acknowledge the Clinton Township School District, every component. There are approximately 17 systems that a superintendent monitors in the district. And each one of those systems work to their full potential. Our students should never be ignored. Mrs. Brennan mentioned the graduation, and the day of their graduation, I had some time with them as their superintendent. And those children are just beautiful, talented, and it's going to be amazing what the next generation accomplishes. I'd also like to acknowledge the Clinton Township Middle School Awards Night and the beach party. The beach party with the Hawaiian shirts, it did not rain. It stopped raining a half an hour after it started. It was a lovely evening. The kids had fun. They did a great job. The dunk tank was fabulous. And watching the hot air balloon donated by Unity Bank, I thought was especially exciting. I'd also like to acknowledge our custodial staff again, because they helped set up, they helped get us ready for all of our events. Our teachers, I've thanked many, many times and acknowledged their good work. We have a fine teaching staff and their dedication is evident each day. Administration, what can I say? Yes, we do have full day leadership coming up. We have full day leadership retreats. These administrators, I'll work with you anytime, any way. You are all talented and you're so engaged and you know your craft. Mr. Kramer, you know you're my support system and I hope you feel the same way about your current interim superintendent. For the board members, you have risen to every challenge. You're hardworking people. You support the district. The question keeps us focused. I am so glad you and the CTA have a tentative agreement. Excellent. Well done. Well done. That speaks volumes for the community of Clinton Township. You have a collaborative group working toward a common goal. So good for all of you. PTA, Mr. Keeper, Thank you. Your leadership was excellent this year, and Ms. Perley will be the next president. The PTA worked very, very hard this year to keep things as normal as possible. Their creativity at meetings and the continuous buy-in for every event, starting with the baskets in September, going through the holidays, the portraits, the field day support, the meetings, really, all of you. It's so proud to work with you. I have to tell you, one of the highlights for me was the egg drop at the Round Valley School. Those kids were so excited. It was the first time that, due to the district working with Dr. Frank, our district physician, was able to make a modification to the mask. But that egg drop with the fire department, that was fabulous. Our kids are so creative. And next year, we're going to make some changes at the school concerning STEM, or as some of you refer to it, I do, as STEAM. So to the police department and the fire department, thank you so much for your continued support. I'd also like to acknowledge Mrs. Brennan. Yes, where is she? Mrs. Brennan became a certified board member. Good for you, Mrs. Brennan. You take your work seriously, and your certification speaks to that. The end of the year activities were superior. Mason and Hammond, you started in January, you had 5 scenarios, and I have to tell you, it was fabulous. And after graduation, we've already had our debriefing. Mrs. Goad, what a good job for kindergarten orientation. I was interviewing, and when you and I spoke, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, or maybe even October, because, you know, there are people in our district who think we don't plan. Well, we plan, because we don't know what September will bring. So we had kindergarten orientation at the end of the year. Well done to the staff and to the support system. And now our little people have a point of reference as to what excitement they will find at PMG with our superior teachers and our staff. The field days went off. I think, Spruce Run, you took a hit. We had to change the days for you. The visors, I thought, were magnificent. And I already put them in my notes for the budget next year. The kids had a good time. We had enough water. The PTA was there as our partners. And we created, again, magic for the children. I ask you, isn't it all about the children? For me, it is. And I've shared that with you many times. And I've also shared with you that I sleep at night. And I also share with my 8th graders that before I go to sleep, I go, how are my kids? And if I get a yes, then I'm fine. And I hope all of you have confidence in this school district. I've been in a number of districts, and I have confidence in this district. I have confidence in the people. I have confidence in my board. I have confidence with the people I serve, and I also have confidence in my students. And now I'd like to offer you some information concerning the current status of the district. Our enrollment is 1,207. We are up 7 students from September. And as I've reported at different board meetings, there are some developments going on. We maintain communication with the township. And if things are back to normal, our realtors will be invited into the district to not only meet the current interim superintendent, but to meet the staff, to meet the administrative team. Because when people come into a town, most people buy a home in the area where they share their values. And our values are evident in our mission statement. Summer activities, over 100 students have enrolled in our summer program for foundation. And this is excellent. Our extended school year will begin tomorrow. So thank you, Ms. Ingram, for your good work. And we did our final checklist today with Ms. Ingram. I want to compliment the staff. We're ready for our kids to come in tomorrow. And that includes the good work done by our transportation providers. The district advisory met on June 17th. And that's something we added last year. And anybody who says they want to come, you know, we're open. We have nothing to hide, but it's comprised of teachers, parents, board members, and we meet to talk about the current status of the district and to look at how we interpret the data we receive from the CDC, the Department of Health, and again, Dr. Frank. Dr. Frank has been invaluable in the service he's provided our district this year. He is always available for a consultation. He never directs us. He gives us good, firm guidance to maintain the health and safety of our children. And on April 12th, our children came back for full days. And on the 19th, we combined the cohorts. So since April 19th, our children have been in school all day, 5 days a week. Good for all of us. It cannot be accomplished without planning, measured response, and also the dedication of parents and everybody that comes in contact with the child. This summer, we will also be working on curriculum revision, although the NJDOE has extended the year for the total revisions to be done. Our schedules, each principal is finalizing their schedule, and we have candidates for positions. And I'm happy to report that tonight's agenda shows the people. So thank you for following a good timeline so that we can get our people, our new teachers ready to come in. This summer, we will be having leadership retreats. We will be finishing our plans for equity in education, and we will finalize our goals for the district, which were presented at the budget meeting when we first presented the budget. The administrators have been working diligently on policy review, as have our board members. Dates for the opening next year, principals will be mailing information to the students on August 18th. August 30th, our teachers return, and August 31st in the afternoon, there are open houses. The pre-K program will be relocated to PMG next year. And you'll see on the agenda that involved the transfer of some of our teachers. As we move forward, decisions will be made as we monitor the data. On tonight's agenda is the reopening plan, the American Rescue Plan. We received a document from the New Jersey Department of Education at the end of May, and the plan had to be presented to the state on June 24th. And tonight it's on the agenda for approval. I would like to make a note that as of June 17th or June 11th, we posted the draft of the plan, and then we had our advisory. That plan is as it is today. As we move forward, modifications will be made. We will again respond the same way we responded during the course of the year that kept everyone safe, faculty, staff, and children. And we will monitor the data so that when we open, we are in compliance. If any of you listen to our governor today, he said students will not be wearing masks in the fall. And he also had a semicolon that said LEAs can make their own discretion. That has been the process all along, and we have done very well as a district. The modifications we made in the masks in June were based upon that measured response. So thank you now to our nurses, and again, Dr. Frank and the Department of Health. Tonight on the board agenda, there are some policies, and I'd like to inform everyone there will be no changes in the district organizational chart that is posted in the bylaws. I end the superintendent's report with the following. When I posted the American Rescue Plan, I have all comments that I received from parents. I received, as a superintendent, 6 comments, and I have to say one insult. One parent wrote me, evidently she wasn't comfortable or he wasn't comfortable with the changes in the mask. And she said, I hope nobody gets sick because of what you're doing. I would like you all to know that the superintendent, I don't care what district you're in, we don't work in isolation. But I have all the comments archived, and the six people who wrote me were respectful, polite, and they do not want our students wearing masks. And that information, not with any names, was shared with the board to maintain information. Again, I end my comments with the retirees. I'm retired, so you better watch it. You never know what happens. As my children say, Mom, being an educator, it's not who you are, it's what you do. And they're right. When you're an educator, it's what you do. It doesn't define you, but boy, you better have a good value base. And one thing I can share with you personally, yes, I do have a good value base. And yes, my values are in alignment with Clinton Township. Look at that mission statement, productive citizens. In 2021, how do any of us define a productive citizen when these children, the class of 2025, graduates from high school? As Roosevelt said, we can't prepare the world for the kids, and I'm paraphrasing, but we can prepare our kids for the world. And that's a quote that I listen to. That's a quote that it just rings in your mind. It's not what we do for the moment for our children. It's the messages we send our children. So as the current interim superintendent of the Clinton Township School District, tonight, I thank all of you for sending our children a sane message that they are cared for, care for it, and value. The mask, I don't think that sends a message to the kids, but our dialogue coming to a decision will send a very good message to the kids. I wish you all a good summer rest, because we don't know what September is going to hit us. And since I opened the door to my personal life, I would like to share with you that my three-month-old grandson slept in his crib last night and slept from 8:30 to 6:30 this morning. At which point, my daughter, in typical Roberto style, stayed up all night long watching the monitor because she was scared that he did not wake up for anything. So yes, the Robertos, we are intense and we are obsessive, but it's all good obsessive behavior. Again, have a good summer. And now it's my pleasure to introduce our principals. All right, Flagship, you're on deck first. We always pull you in first. Judy, you and Mr. Mason, Ms. Hammond, you're on deck.
I was going to say, I presume that meant me until you called us by name.
Flagship. You know you're the flagship.
Good evening, everyone. It is my pleasure. I'm going to talk about one particular staff member, but it is my pleasure to have worked with all the people that are retiring. And personally and professionally, we wish them great joy in their retirement. But I am going to talk about Nancy Cadre. I've known Nancy for many, many years. She joined Clinton Township in April 2022 as a teaching assistant. She worked with students in pre-K all the way through grade 8, though the majority of her time was in 5th and 6th grade. But for the last 5 years, Nancy has been working in our autism program with students that she has taken under her wing, and she is truly a dedicated professional, committed, dedicated to the kids. And I want to give you one example. So one of my favorite memories of Nancy is after school going to cross country. And there's Nancy going up the hill, running cross country with one of her students, encouraging her. She's like the Energizer Bunny. She kept going. I was exhausted just watching her. But that's who Nancy is, committed to the students within the school day and outside. So Nancy, as a friend, I'm going to miss you greatly, but we wish you great joy and happiness in your retirement. And like I said, I'm going to turn it over. And I believe, Dr. Roberto, are we going in age order? And if that, the student's age? And if so, is that going to Ms. Postman now?
You can go to Ms. Postman. And yes, we will go in age order, unless one of the principals wants to show leadership and shift it.
No, I think that that's a good idea. And Judy, I think it's student age and our ages as well. So
look at Ms. Condry. You look so happy. Good for you. Good for you.
Nancy. So I'm going to join what Ms. Hammond just said in congratulating all the retirees. This is a really great group of individuals, and I've had the pleasure of working with everyone too. And it's a loss for the district, but I have to always balance that with how much we've gained as a district from having these ladies with us for so long. Yeah. And so I will be talking about three individuals tonight. One of them, Marlene, is here with us. The others are not, but I still would like to say a few words. So Marlene, I'm sure that all of you in your life have met someone who you just know instantly that they're a really good person. And that's my first meeting with Marlene. I just knew she was a good person. And everything that has happened from that day that I met her 14 years ago until this day proved that I was right in my initial gut reaction to her. She is funny. She has a laugh that we all know and love and will miss. I will absolutely miss hearing that in the hallways. Marlene has worked and given herself to all of the buildings in some way, delivered our mail, delivered news to us, and just a lot of great things that she's done for all of us. But for me, the thing that I love best about Marlene and her role as custodian in our buildings over the years has been her pride in taking care of the building. And, you know, one of the parts about loving the school district that you're in has to do with facilities and how well they're taken care of. And Marlene's pride in taking care of our buildings is really top notch. And she's been able to take a leadership role with other newer custodians and helping to train them and lead them. And that has been phenomenal to watch that evolve over the years. And it's leaving us with a gap. Without Marlene, we don't have that person who has really kind of kept everybody in line over the years, but it's amazing, to having had the chance to watch you, Marlene. I've been in awe of you, and you always got to know everybody. We've had so many teachers join us in the 14 years that you've been here, and you just really, always got to know everybody as an individual. You shared a lot of great ideas with everyone, and you just really made our school a better place. So I know that you've had a lot of exciting things happen in the past couple of years with your wedding, now your retirement. So I can't wait to see what the next few years hold for you. And I just hope that you have nothing but happiness in your retirement. Congratulations.
And Marlene has been crying for 2 weeks. I can't even look at you anymore because she starts crying immediately. Immediately. Are you crying now, Marlene?
It's a good crying. It's a good crying.
It's a good crying. Well deserved, well earned.
And we know it's not the end of our relationship with Marlene. So that makes us happy.
No, you can come back.
Absolutely.
Not to work. You can visit.
Anytime. So the next one person that I'd like to talk about is Kathy Cavan. And Kathy brings a smile to my face. She was a teaching assistant with us for 20 years. And the reason that she makes me so happy is because she was my teaching assistant in the beginning of her career. And boy, was that the dream team. Mrs. Goad, Mrs. Cavan. It was such a fun, amazing team. So in that role, Kathy was an in-class support teaching assistant, and she just rocked it. She was phenomenal. Over the years, she's been in all four of the buildings, and she has really done all the different types of roles that a teaching assistant can do in the district. Her last several years, though, have been in the autism classroom as well, and she just embodies everything that you would want in a teaching assistant in that type of role. She just is so caring, nurturing, tough, kind, just everything that you would want, patient, calm. She really took good care of herself. You would regularly see her in the district walking very early in the morning, getting all of her steps in before the school day even started. But I think that really helped center her and just, help her provide the best education possible for the kids.
she loves the beach and the sand and again, taking care of herself. So I think that retirement is just going to be amazing for her. And I wish her nothing but the best as well. So congratulations to Kathy. And finally, I'm going to say a few words about Susan Rivers. I did not get to work with Susan very long. She was at Round Valley when I moved to Round Valley 3 years ago. And I was only able to work with Susan for about a year and 2 months. But in that time, I really became in awe of her. She was a pillar in fifth grade. She knew her stuff. And she really had amazingly high expectations for the students. And they really rose to the challenge in meeting those expectations in a really supportive way. I would walk into her classroom and it was constantly busy. You know, just what you want to see as an administrator. You want to see a busy classroom where the kids are learning. And you would walk down and, you know, get on the floor with the kids as they were working on different projects. And you would ask them what they were doing. And they would just tell you exactly, you know, what their objective was. It was just top notch. And again, that pillar on the fifth grade team, such a leader and collaborative member. And I know that it was a real loss when she left us. It was a real loss for the fifth grade team. But I think that she's going to have an amazing future, spending time with her family. And as that family is expanding now, as her kids are older and married and having kids, and I think it's going to be wonderful for her. So I wish her nothing but the best. And I think that our loss came a little bit earlier than she wanted to leave. But I think that for her, I think that she's going to have an amazing future. And I hope that she's well, and I wish her nothing but the best too. And so I know that I keep wishing everyone nothing but the best, but that's just so true. I know that you guys have worked so hard over the years, and I just want you to have a really, really amazing retirement because you deserve it so much. So congratulations again.
Thank you, Ms. Postma. You're welcome. Well done, Mary. Well done.
Thank you.
All right. Where is she? Miss Go.
PMG is next. All right. So this evening I have the pleasure of recognizing three of our retirees from our district. But I will say the same as both Ms. Hammond and Ms. Postma. I have also had the distinct pleasure of working with all of these individuals who are retiring this evening and know firsthand the value that they have brought to our district and what an incredible loss it is for our district for them to be leaving, but at the same time feeling so excited for them for all that they have ahead. The first person that I'd like to recognize is Jean Allen. I don't believe she's here this evening, but Jean joined our district back in 2000 as a teacher assistant. And during the past 21 years, her kindness and her patience have truly benefited all of the students with whom she worked, not only one-on-one as a teacher assistant, but through her time as a special educator, and also as a literacy support teacher at Spruce Run and at PMJ. Together with her colleagues, she has really shaped the literacy program, both at Spruce Run and at Patrick McGarren over the years, and that will benefit all of the children down the road as well. So Jean is leaving her legacy in our literacy program for us to carry on now. So she will be greatly missed, but I know that she's going to be enjoying her time with her children and her grandchildren and her family and all that lies ahead for her. So congratulations to Jean Allen. The second person that I would like to recognize this evening is Ruth Stee. And I know that Mrs. Stee is here this evening. Mrs. Stee has been a teacher assistant in our district since 2004. And so not only do I get to know Mrs. Stee and Mrs. Allen as amazing educators, but I also knew them as amazing parents way back when their kids were either in my class, when I was a teacher here in our district, or I got to work with both of them through the PTA. And I do remember, as I shared at our ice cream social at PMG, meeting Mrs. Stee at one of the roller skating nights sponsored by the PTA, again, way back when, probably sometime in the early 90s. So she has been so dedicated to all aspects of our district as well. She's an advocate for all that she encounters, whether that be her students, her colleagues, or our district. Each school that she's been a part of has truly been a better place because of her having been there. Mrs. Stee is cheery and positive in all of her interactions. However, her loyalty and her compassionately fierce advocacy also are there whenever needed, whether she's again supporting her students or a cause or her colleagues. So again, truly our pleasure to have had the opportunity to have Mrs. Stee supporting our students and our families and our staff throughout the year. So thank you, Mrs. Stee. Congratulations. The last person I have the pleasure of speaking about tonight didn't actually retire from PMG, but I said tonight I need to talk about Mrs. Granbor this evening. Roberta Granbor has also been a part of our district for many years. I first met Mrs. Granbor back in, I think it was 1999, when she was interviewing for a position within our district. As a part of the interview committee, I remember just being in awe of her knowledge of literacy and of teaching and learning. And I was so thrilled when she joined our district at that point. Mrs. Granbor is truly a literacy guru. She is our go-to with any question about literacy, reading recovery, different levels, books, child development. Mrs. Granbor has organized many a book room in her day quite well, I will add. It didn't quite get maintained after you left. We're working on it still. It's still in good shape, but not quite as good shape as when Mrs. Granbor was organizing it. She's regularly taught others, students, colleagues, and parents about literacy development, and has been that person, can be a shoulder to cry on for those who worry that their child isn't developing as they should. And that cheerleader celebrating the successes when the children do make progress under her guidance. Again, I've had the good fortune to work with her at PMG, and our students and staff at CTMS benefited when she was moved to that building in her last year. And we were lucky enough to have had her in our district. So even though Mrs. Granbor retired, not retired recently, but in the past year, still our pleasure to have you here this evening, Roberta, and to wish you well in all of your future endeavors. Congratulations to you. And to all of our retirees this evening, enjoy your children and your grandchildren and your puppies and your kittens and your family and all the good things that lie ahead. Know that we'll miss you greatly, but we're so excited for you. So congratulations.
Well done, Miss Goad. And now, Miss Ingram.
Yes, and the dog. We would like to thank everyone. I have to echo all of the beautiful words from all of the principals about all of the retirees. And I want to take a moment just to really thank and say congratulations to Nancy and Ruth and Kathy, three of the most amazing teaching assistants from the special services world. All of you are advocates for our kids. And all of you taught me about this district and about our kids and about the teams that you've been on over the years. And I think I have had the amazing opportunity to work with each one of you at Spruce Run School in different years and different capacities. And your collective years and collective experience in all of the different programs with kids with needs that just spread over this massive continuum. You're all each unique in your own way. And I know you're going to take that with you into the next season and chapter of your lives. So thank you from all of the students and the families and the teams that you represent. Good luck in your retirement.
Dr. Roberto, I think you're muted.
Sorry. Again, we wish you well. Be healthy, take care. And as long as the evolving situation allows visitors, come back and see us. Really, come back and see us. You did good work for children. Not grammatically correct, but absolutely correct in intent. And thank you very much. Mrs. Brennan, I'd also like to include two other items. There were no affirmative action claims this year, And in HIB, the motion on the agenda is there, and all reports for the HIB situations have had review. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well done, principals and Mr. Mason.
Yes, thank you all for coming tonight. Okay. And with that, we're looking for a motion for 21 SU30 and 21 SU31.
Motion.
Thank you, Dr. Rehamaki. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Hornick. Any discussion, any questions? Dr. Grantham?
A question about, we've had a nice long run with no HIV incidents. When we have the sort of annual reporting to DOE, they get categorized different ways. Is there a specific category that we're going to need to work on or think about as we, you know, start to have these type of incidents again?
Thank you, Dr. Grantham, for your question. When the administrative team and each school evaluates and does their self-evaluation, that evaluation will tell us the areas of foci for the year. In addition to that, the board will receive their training on the policies for code of conduct, HIB, and other and attendance as mandated by the NJDOE in September. But yes, the area of foci for the year would be identified. Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Dr. Brasher?
Yes.
Ms. Creighton?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Hornig?
Yes.
Ms. Oliver?
Yes.
Dr. Rehamaki?
Yes.
Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Passes.
Thank you. At this time, we've reached the first public comment section. If anyone in the audience would like to address the board, please click the participant button at the bottom of your screen. On the bottom right-hand side, there should be an option to raise hand, raise hand. Some may find the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen when you click reactions. We will recognize you and unmute your microphone. If you could then please state your name and address. Each person will have up to 3 minutes. We will attempt to answer all questions once everyone has had the opportunity to address the board. If there are any phone numbers showing at the time of the public comment, we will unmute them to allow them the option to comment since they are unable to use the other feature. This comment section will be limited to 20 minutes.
Lana, we have Ms. Reckon.
Okay, let me get my timer.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
Hopefully you won't need it, Lana. This is Ronelle Reckon, 42 Valley Crest Road. Thank you again, everybody, for everything you did this year. Two quick questions when I looked at the agenda yesterday. The one was I just need a clarification on, I believe, how the balances that's left in the kids' lunch accounts. I want to make sure I understand how that's going to happen. Speaking for my own kids, if they still have money left in those accounts, is that going to carry over to next year, or is it going to be used to pay other kids' balances? I just misread it, or not sure I understand it. And the other question is, I saw that everybody from Spruce Run is transferring to Patrick McGarren. Does that mean there's going to be absolutely no classes or anything at Spruce Run and all at Patrick McGarren? And then what is going to happen at Spruce Run? That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Looks like we have another hand. Mr. Menzak?
Mr. Menzak?
Hi, this is Joe Menzak. Wanted to, in regards to the proposal.
I'm sorry, could you state your name and address? Address.
Yeah, I thought I spoke my name. Joe Menzak. I have children in the district, and I was looking at the proposal for this upcoming year regarding the mask. Now, it had sounded as though the superintendent said that it was going to stay as the proposal has been written and has been sent in for approval. I know with Governor Murphy today making a statement that the children do not have to follow the mask guidelines, and it's really up to the districts to make that decision. I wanted to know, far as I know, things can change, but it sounded as though there was no talks of making any changes to be where the governor is actually, you know, headed. Could I get a little clearance on that? What our next school year is going to look like, though the governor has changed what the current mask guidelines had been.
Mr. Manzak, can you give me your address, please?
525 Hamden Road, Annandale, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Mrs. Brennan, do you want to respond, or?
Oh, I lost you. I apologize. I can't.
Do you want me to respond, or?
If you'd like to.
With your, there's something wrong with my screen. I'm not muted, but it says I'm muted. Thank you for the question. Yes, we did hear the governor today. And the first sentence in each of the areas would be, when the report was submitted it on the 24th, it was based upon the information we had that day. And on the 24th, it said masks are mandated. That was obviously last week. And as I said during the superintendent's report, as the situation evolves, I'll echo what our governor said today. Although right now, today, and he said, unless things change, he is not mandating that children wear masks. So we watch the data, we use our partners, we collaborate. And as we move closer to the opening of school, modifications to the plan that had to be submitted on the 24th would be made as necessary.
Thank you. And then Mr. Kramer, could you speak to—
Oh, the lunch, I'm sorry. Mr. Kramer, do you mind?
Not at all. These are old old balances, positives and negatives that date back a long while. The students no longer belong, no longer attend our district. Those students that are in the district, those balances are not being modified at all. These are just ones that we cannot locate, or I shouldn't say locate, but the students have passed, moved on, and no sibling is in the district. So we're just clearing out those balances.
Thank you. Karen has a positive balance that stays with the child. We discussed this last week.
Any child that's in the district, the balances stay regardless if they're positive or negative, and it will follow the student throughout.
Okay, I do not see any other hands or phone numbers, so I'm going to— I'm sorry?
No others, correct. Nothing else.
And there's no phone numbers is my other question.
That is correct, no phone numbers.
Okay, then I will close the floor to public comment section. Next, we have Ms. Gwen Thornton to go over our board evaluation as well as the board and district goals. Ms. Thornton, are you with us?
I am.
There she is.
And I'm on the screen. I hope I can see all of you. So it is a pleasure to see all of you and be here again. You should have received, and I know that you did from Lana, a copy of the board self-evaluation. And I just want to go on the record that in the years that I have served Clinton Township, this is by far the best self-evaluation of the Board of Education I have ever seen. So you should all give yourselves a round of applause, because I know what a challenge this year has been for Board of Education members, and you clearly are working effectively together as a team. I think that's also a credit to your administration, both your interim superintendent and your business administrator, who assist that team in being effective. The first page of your self-evaluation asks you to identify, of all of your responsibilities, what you see as the most important. And I was delighted to say to you this evening that you all identified student achievement as your primary responsibility, which says to me that you do understand your responsibilities and obligations, that you were there to ensure that every child reaches his or her potential. Tied for that was board performance and board superintendent relationships, which again speaks to what we know from research, that the high performing school districts are boards that have good relationships with one another, work collaboratively with their superintendent, and are able to move the district forward. So all of your scores were in the threes. I always, you know, look at the evaluation for those of you who might be on from the public. We ask the board to evaluate the board's performance and then individually to evaluate your own performance. And in 9 out of 10 cases, board members always evaluate their performance higher than they rate the performance of the board. It's very human. I know what I'm doing, it's the other 8 folks who haven't a clue. But I am pleased to say that in many categories, you rated the performance of the board higher than you rated your own individual performance, which says to me that you are taking your responsibilities seriously and that you are working together effectively as a team. So we typically use the board self-evaluation. At the end of the document, you may recall that we asked you to identify what you thought would most benefit you as a group in terms of professional development. So as we talk about goal setting, I'm going to return to your self-eval and talk about it a little more then, because there were some suggestions for areas that you might wish to do some additional professional development to strengthen your team. You know, the one area that sort of stuck out to me that is not surprising, and so I'll mention it now, is around reading the financial reports. School finance is its own animal. It's not like municipal finance. It's not like corporate finance. It is its own creature. And so lots of folks, even if they are CPAs in their private life, look at school finance and say, what? They do it. How? So that's not unusual that a lot of board members struggle. So that's perhaps an area where we could do some additional professional development down the road as we move back to normal. But I would like to begin with talking about goal setting for next year, which is really the most important piece of my presence here tonight. If I'm able to share the screen, we will do that this way. Okay, and you should all be able to share that, I hope. See that, not share it, but you should all be able to see that. We entitled this Leaping Forward Together. That person leaping between those two giant rocks is every single child, every administrator, every parent, every board member who is delighted that we are going to move forward and we are going to go back to, hopefully in September, a much more normal situation. So we thought it was appropriate because it is really feels to me like the dawning of a new day. I've now been able to go back into district. Some boards have begun to meet in person, and it is wonderful to actually be seen outside of this box. And I have really enjoyed being back to normal. I can only imagine what it will be like for your children who had that opportunity since April, which is a wonderful piece. But as we think about goal setting, we really do need to reflect on what did we learn from this past year, and really more than this past year, but these last 19 months. And begin by evaluating what you've accomplished, thinking about what needs to be continued, what may need to be reimagined moving forward. You know, one of the things in education we've always talked about is seat time. Well, with technology, seat time became instantaneously obsolete. So there may be things that we can learn and take from this experience, which was by no means pleasant or something any of us thought would ever be a reality for our lives, and learn from it, and then really to prepare for September of 2021, whatever that looks like. And yes, I heard the governor this afternoon as well, and I'm delighted that he's made that decision. But of course, it always comes with a caveat, because the one thing we know that we don't control is truly the virus. So everything comes with a caveat, and including your goal setting for next year, because hopefully, things will move forward. But as we asked folks, you know, what were some of the kinds of things that you learned from this past year? And we surveyed some boards. These are the kinds of answers that we got. Resiliency. Our children were resilient, our parents, our staff. The flexibility, the ability to pivot quickly and to change what we were doing, to shift paradigms when conditions changed. Obviously, tenacity and endurance to continue to move along, even when there was loss of opportunity for students to do things that they finally got to do this year, like field day, that they didn't get to do last year, graduations, all of those kinds of things. The professionalism and commitment of your staff and your administration. I haven't found a school district where there has not been educators dedicated, committed, spending hours and hours making sure that they were providing the most engaging instruction that they could under some of the most difficult circumstances possible. Parents' commitment to the education of their children. One of the upsides to all of this is the number of members of the public that we have had attending our meetings. They haven't always been happy with all the responses, but at the same time, their voices have been heard. They know how you operate and function, and you've listened, and you've heard their concerns, and you've done everything that you can, as all districts have, to provide the greatest number of opportunities for the children within the parameters of keeping your students safe and healthy and your staff as well. The possibilities and the limitations of technology for learning. There are pieces to the technology that we may want to keep. The governor has said there's no remote learning for next year, which certainly there is nothing that replaces the importance of those relationships between teachers and students and between all of us as human beings. But at the same time, for children who are medically fragile, for enrichment opportunities, for perhaps accelerating and tutoring individual students, the technology does provide opportunities. So we have to, you know, think beyond sometimes we just want it gone, it was awful, or we didn't like it, to see that there are advantages to it. And again, that critical relationship, critical role that relationships play, and then addressing those opportunity gaps for our kids. And you've done amazing things in addressing that already, and will continue to do so. So as we set goals and as you reflect, you know, why do we set goals? Well, they enable equitable policy development. And I know you've worked very hard this past year on your policy manual with Strauss-Esme and getting it up to date and making sure that not only your policies, but your bylaws reflect your current practices. They move the district closer to the achievement of the district vision and mission that Dr. Roberto mentions often, because that's what's important. It establishes priorities for the district, so your community and your staff know clearly what the focus is for the year. It provides you an opportunity for periodic evaluation, recalibrating if necessary, which you did several times last year. All districts had to do that as circumstances changed and adjust. And then it really does help with effective communication and collaboration among your board members and your staff, your students and your community, because it becomes the focus of the board's work. The district goals drive the work of the committees, the board goals drive the professional development of the board. And then of course, it provides that accountability link for the evaluation of your chief school administrator, which is a critical component for your Board of Education and a statutory requirement, which you have completed. But my favorite reason for doing it is if you don't know where you're going, you might end up someplace else. And for those of you who are too young to recognize this gentleman, it's Yogi Berra from the New York Yankees, who I watched as a child when my father would take us in to watch a baseball game at Yankee Stadium and the old Yankee Stadium. He occasionally put his foot in his mouth, but occasionally he said some important things. And this is one of them, because if you don't know where you're going, you could absolutely end up someplace else. And we know that effective school boards define clear goals for student achievement and have high expectations and shared beliefs and values about what's possible for all students, which speaks to that equity of opportunity, which is so important for all of your children. I listened as you were saluting your retired teachers, and my congratulations to all of them for their years of service to the students in your district. And I listened to the story of a teacher aide or teacher who ran with a child who was autistic to encourage them. Those are the irreplaceable things that teachers do that we often don't hear about, but that's having those high expectations for all students and making sure that they all reach their full potential and working together to do that. Embracing and using both quantitative and qualitative data, that's important, and using data as a tool to continually inform and improve your efforts and drive your decision-making. Data is a flashlight. It lights the way for you, and it should always be used to light the road, not as a hammer to punish or to drive negativity. So boards who use data to inform and improve, as opposed to using it for negative reasons, are much more effective. It also helps you to identify specific student needs or groups of student learning needs through data analysis so that you can, in effect, make changes that will, in fact, improve what it is students know and are able to do. Goal setting is part of that greater cycle of board governance. For those of you who have been on the board for over a year, you know that there's an annual cycle. You set goals in this time frame. Action plans are written by administrators over the summer, shared with their teachers, so that everyone's oars are in the water, rowing in the same direction. And while a goal may look differently at the preschool level than it does at the elementary level, than it does at the middle school level, it's the same goal. It's just put into play in a different way. So then the board provides monitoring and oversight of that progress through the course of the year. You evaluate the superintendent, and the process begins yet again. So it's really a continuous cycle focused around student achievement and improvement of performance. There are several kinds of goals. Tonight, we're going to talk about board goals, and those are set collaboratively with the superintendent, and I know that you have those for this evening. Excuse me, district goals are the ones that you work with on the superintendent. Board goals refer specifically to your processes and procedures and how you can, as a board, be more effective in supporting the district goals. All chief school administrators have personal professional development plans that are non-evaluative in nature, that are shared with their professional association. And then, of course, some superintendents, not interims, have merit goals as well, which are contractual. So everyone owns the district goals in the sense that the chief school administrator is responsible for the completion, but you as a board have to supply the resources necessary for their attainment through the budget, through staffing, through materials. And you do that regularly. And in fact, Johanna spoke about how the goals were laid out as you were doing the budget, because you cannot hold someone accountable if you haven't provided the wherewithal to achieve those goals. So effective school boards ensure that district goals remain their top priority. They should drive your decision-making. They should drive the work of your committees. You should be able to understand and explain whatever improvement initiatives are included to your parents and your community members. And really, it helps to promote a system-wide focus on that continuous improvement in student outcomes. And you did note in your self-eval, the one score that was below a 3 was around specifically monitoring student performance and achievement. But that was exceedingly difficult this year in the COVID environment. I think that's an area where it will be much easier next year. What is your role in district goals? You are elected by your community to reflect their values and aspirations. The board, with CSA input, and you have a strategic plan in place and strategic goals, have an area of focus and intent. You provide those resources. Your superintendent, along with the principals, provide the programs, tactics, and resources. And then your teachers are responsible for the delivery and assessment, the adaptation, personalization, and differentiation of instruction. around those particular goals that enable them to be successful. And oftentimes boards talk about goals being SMART goals, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Sometimes the expression of those pieces are in the action plans for achieving the goal, not necessarily in the goal statement itself, but not having that in the goal statement does not make your goals not a SMART goal, but the resources and the timelines, the personnel, and all of those pieces are always included in the action plans moving forward, okay? So district goals can refer to any of these: student learning, equity, health, wellness, mental health, facilities, finance, safety, security, communications, community engagement, and or involvement. So as you're thinking about, you know, what it is that's important in terms of essential questions, you know, what should be the focus, and I know your superintendent has thought about this, that would most dramatically accelerate learning and address opportunity gaps for your students, and how your educational program is meeting and supporting the social emotional needs of students as they return, and how your staff will address any kind of emerging mental health issues that may be present, and then using the data to identify those improvement focuses and where you need to continue learning. Additionally, in addition to the instructional program, those 21st century skills that are so important for our students as they move through the grade levels and onto high school and hopefully onto college and career or the military, ensuring that they are critical thinkers and collaborative problem solvers, that they can work effectively as a team. One of the 21st century themes was initially digitally literate. Certainly our kids got a leg up on that this past year. And are probably more digitally literate than they were 19 months ago, but also civically responsible and culturally responsive with the love of learning and ensuring that they are moral, ethical, empathetic, and compassionate human beings is critically important, that they're good people. It's not enough just to do the academics. We need to do those other pieces because they're going to go out into a world that's going to look different than it does today. So here were the district goals from 2021, and I put these in here. You've seen these before. I'm not going to spend any time on this other than to say these were the district goals for this past year. And again, I asked Johanna to share, and I know that she has, the proposed district goals for 21-22. And I would ask Dr. Roberto if there's anything she would like to add in terms of those goals.
All the goals focus upon the items that we focused upon this year, and we're extending them. And with our children back in a more traditional schedule and academic pace and sequence for lessons, the goals further emphasize those areas. They were first presented to the public during the budget presentation, because the budget as defined during the presentation is our financial plan for the district, and all requests based upon collaboration with our administrators and teachers in specialized departments such as special education and our student counselors, we have refined them. They are not the same goals, they are more specific. In the academics, we're focusing on, and in the budget presentation, there were specific areas that we have focused: the Wilson Reading, the foundations. On social and emotional well-being, we are implementing the Lifelines program in 6 through 8. And we've all gone to professional development and our student counselors. That we're doing in alignment with our receiving high school and other districts in the county, so that our teachers will have an opportunity to collaborate and define best practices. And that would be extended to not only our students and the faculty and staff, and also our parents and guardians. Now, the technology is very interesting. And I heard your presentation. I did turn my screen off for 4 slides because I went to get something to drink, but I could hear you. The technology is very, very interesting. And I have talked to some of our technology teachers who are very well versed in this field, in addition to the administrative team. Executive function, that is one area. The teachers in our district, we're focusing upon the SAMR model, S-A-M-R. The ITSE standards are also offered to all teachers, but the ITSE standards are a little bit more complex. Our teachers, and I've had the opportunity to complete formal observations as well as informal observations, our teachers have really excelled in their own capacity in the utilization of technology to amplify learning. Now, the word amplify, some people say, gee, amplify. We're not going to a virtual platform, but the technology does allow a child and an adult learner to have self-paced remedial, self-paced enrichment, also independent thought, independent research. And that's something that our teachers really, really excelled last year on, the individualization and utilization of technology to offer our children more independent and self-paced instruction. So this year with technology, we want our teachers to continue to develop their capacity with technology, in addition to having the technology evident in their lesson design and organization. Facilities and a safe, secure environment. Facilities, the budget presentation still up there. And Mrs. Thornton, most respectfully, I think I did send you all the sub areas,
Yes, you did.
I did. And the board knows all the sub areas as well as the public. And the sub areas go all the way from having our playgrounds inspected, which is a mandatory item. Also, facilities. Mr. Kramer, you did a fabulous job with Mr. Bolognini and the principals. We have assessed every single building, window replacement, water softeners, dishwashers. It's amazing what a district can need. Not undifferent than your own home if you haven't really looked at the items there. We have a furniture replacement. We're taking the labs down in Round Valley School. We're replacing carpet. We've gone through the whole entire district, and I'm so proud of the work your community has done, because the buildings now have a plan for the future. In addition to that, we did a lot of work last year on ventilation, but we're still moving forward on ventilation. And in addition to that, we're also including a standard filter change, which we did this year. We're maintaining compliance with all mandated testing. So these are comprehensive goals, very comprehensive. And I hope I answered your question.
You did.
Board Mr. member, Kramer, do you want to add anything, or did I cover everything? Am I good?
You're good.
Thank you, Mr. Kramer. I love it when you give me a simple, you're good.
Don't need to repeat such a great thing, but yeah, great job laying it out.
And don't forget, last year we spent over $100,000 on ventilation. And that was to have our school opened on time. And we did very well, very well. Thank you, Mrs. Thornton.
You're welcome. Thank you, Dr. Roberto. Any board member comments, questions, thoughts? So I'm going to assume that those goals are the goals that will be in place for the district for 2021-22. And I think they are. I have all of the detail. I just couldn't get them on all the slides, which is
they'll be approved in August, and it'll include all the subcategories.
Perfect. Thank you. So the superintendent will develop action plans that will include, you know, the various objectives in all of those specialized areas, who will be involved, what the tasks are that will accomplish them, and provide you with all of that detail, including the status of those on a routine basis, which is what happens in districts. In terms of board goals, now you will recall that board goals are around your processes and procedures, thinking about what kind of professional development would improve your governance skills, what your self-evaluation indicated, and what professional development might be needed in support of the district goals. So when you think about a starting point, we generally start with your board self-evaluation. I know you've worked on policy a lot in providing oversight and monitoring through the course of the year. You of course ensure there's a comprehensive curricular program and instruction. Communications is always a huge area for boards of education. And then of course, ensuring equitable opportunities for all students. So here were the 2021 board goals. And we were going to do professional development with the board in area of DEI, finance, facilities, and personnel, board member usage of social media. I think that the board reviewed and revised your bylaws that you're, I mean, not that you're finished because policy is an ongoing piece, but I think you really have accomplished that particular part, that goal. I know that you held a retreat last summer, yes, that fostered teamwork with a particular focus on the district mission with Dr. Roberto. And then you also wanted to continue to focus on community engagement and working to expanding partnerships with your municipal official and local businesses. As I listened to you talk about the egg drop, obviously the bank was involved, one of, I'm sure, your local businesses, the municipality through your fire department, your police department, all of those agencies, and it's just wonderful to hear them do that. So in terms of suggested goals, there is a change this year, and I think you know what it is and has to be obviously the first goal listed, and that is to complete a search for a superintendent of schools. As much as you all love Dr. Roberto, no interim can serve more than 2 years in one school district. And so the board has begun that process. You're working on that, but that is your number one most important task because it is the most important thing you're going to do in the next 3 to 5 years, okay? The second goal that I would suggest is around, again, communication. And making sure that you're hitting all of those partnerships, but also putting out on a more regular basis, although I know that that's hard, perhaps newsletters or quarterly information. You can do that through your website. I have been working with Dr. Basher, and I know that we're going to have a portion of your website that's devoted to the search. We finalized the calendar and that's getting ready to be posted. So, you know, there will be opportunities for the board to keep, and I think it's important for the board to keep the community informed as to where you are in the process of looking for a permanent superintendent. You cannot share confidential information, but certainly you can share where you are in the process, what that timeline looks like, how the community will be able to be involved, including your staff. I think those pieces are incredibly important to think about, okay? You're also going to have to look at what you want to do long-term, reviewing the goals for utilization of Spruce Run. And then if you want to keep, and we may not have time to do all of this, those professional development topics or others that may pop up through the year that we didn't get to do this past year because of the pandemic. So those were my thoughts that came out of what you said in your self-eval, what's important in terms of your superintendent's input around all of this. I think these are critically important for the board, but they are your goals, not mine, except to say that superintendent one is immutable. That has to be done first and foremost. Board member thoughts.
I have a question.
Yes, Allison.
So that second one around the board communications, is that a separate expectation for the board itself, separate from the superintendent, that the board have?
No, but I think that there are, you know, oftentimes boards do put out a column on the website that reflects, you know, what the board's been doing and the activities of the board. That's something you can do it. But I think perhaps, you know, the utilization of social media, not necessarily in the first part of the year, but perhaps after you hire a new superintendent, it may be something that you want to work on as a goal with your new superintendent in terms of utilization of some of the social media platforms through the district, not through the board, but as a goal to work collaboratively to do that. Does that help?
Yeah, that makes sense. So some would be direct from the board and some would be improving the district's presence on other platforms.
On anything that is a district educational matter would come through the district, but if it's around the board, that could be the board's, not individually, but the collective board.
Yes.
And you know, here's what we're working on this month, you know, and here are upcoming events. That kind of informational piece might be helpful.
I agree.
I have a question, a sort of a similar question on the third item. Okay. So the verb is review, that the board will review the goals for the utilization of Spruce Run. And I was sort of wondering if that is our role? Is it to review? Could it be something stronger, more involved, or is review the correct level of engagement for the board?
It's a review of the identified goals for the utilization, and then you're going to have to make a decision and vote. So you will have, do you know what I'm saying? But the options as to what the potentialities are would come from as a recommendation from your administration.
So making a decision is really the goal?
Ultimately, to review all of the various options, and ultimately you're going to have to make a decision, yeah. Mm-hmm. As a board, as a full board.
Okay. So it might reflect that more specifically.
We can, I don't know, you know, it's utilization for 22-23, we're doing 21-22. So you have until the end of 2022 to make that decision, right?
Okay.
To come to that. So that might be part of the, if you want, we certainly can wordsmith that if that's the desire of the board, but you're really going to review those goals that are identified as options, right? For what you're going to do with the building and then ultimately make a decision. I'm not sure that this is when that is anticipated to happen. Perhaps Dr. Roberto has a thought in terms of timeline.
I have, what I can contribute is in informal discussions with the board concerning one of my goals for the year. It was to develop an action plan for the district to go through the processes in offering the goals.
Okay.
The building has been empty for X number of years, and the pre-K students are moving to PMG and other classes are going back to their home school. And we did utilize the building this year, but the building will be monitored. The building will be supervised, you know, but there will be no students there. It's not decommissioned. But having said that, I'm working on an action plan for the board, not to gather information so that I can offer it to the board with alternatives for their decisions.
Thank you. Does that help, Laura, Dr. Bish? Okay. Any other questions or thoughts? Do you want to leave off the last goal rather than carry it forward so that you really only end up with those three goals so that you're not overwhelmed? It's been a pretty, I mean, I can come in and do those programs with the board at any time, if you have time, whenever you want. Always, you know that. But you are going to spend a great deal of your time with each other during the course of the superintendent search. It's a pretty labor-intensive process, at least for the interviewing piece. You're going to be having meetings and so forth. If you look at the calendar, which will be posted, you'll see. So you may not want to take on this fourth goal just in light of your own personal and professional lives. I recognize that you all are volunteers. I would love to come in and do those programs for you and be happy to do those. I'm not trying to get rid of my work with all of you. I enjoy being with your board, but you may not, but we can leave it, or you can decide before you approve these what you want to do, Lana, and you can let me know. Does that work?
I would agree, Mrs. Thornton, with your assessment that three, you know, this year we pulled together two board retreats, which they were incredibly valuable, but it was also hard to plan them. And so we will be meeting with subsets, you know, throughout the superintendent search process. So I would hate for us to promise three board retreats, one more than last year, given that we have, I think, two very sizable things in the superintendent search and Spruce Run School.
I would agree with you, Dr. Ramaki.
Are there any board members who are not feeling that way?
Lana, can you repeat the question again, please?
Is there anyone who wants to keep the fourth one, I guess is the real question. That is okay, you know, is everyone okay with keeping three? Three is good, is hard. Four is gonna be pushing, I think, a lot of us.
I think four is gonna be pushing a lot of us. I guess the question for me is, I think the elements that are in the fourth, if we can find a way to incorporate that, even if it's not a retreat, I'm fine about that. But I think that there is a lot of value to make sure that we're maintaining kind of the intent behind those elements. If it's not a retreat, fine. You know, we could figure out another way to do it. I think it still requires some thought and some focus on, like, how do we implement and more comprehensively live some of the learnings that we want from that fourth goal more consistently.
And I think that's very possible. I can come in before a meeting, an hour before a regular meeting begins, so that you're not coming out a separate night, and do a training on one of those without making it into a retreat. Do you know what I'm saying? And listing a number, because I would agree that the professional development is important. Around those topics you identify as being critically important. So if we can fit them in here and there, that's something that you can always do at any point in time. But I think if we take out the language around planning and implementation of three retreats, while keeping the refining board members' knowledge and skills through active participation and professional development, when possible, or when time permits, and that way it takes sort of that pressure off. Would that work for everyone?
Well, go ahead.
I was, you know, the retreats that we held this year, I found to be a different level of beneficial than just having a training. Like, we had more dialogue in them. We made more progress on understanding, and not just understanding, but taking action on, you know, how we were going to get our bylaws up to date, those types of things. And I think maybe an alternative would be to tone it down by dialing it back to one retreat, and still having that, because I think that the retreat was very helpful for our board cohesion. And are just sort of appreciation of what everyone's bringing to the table, not building respect. And I understand we'll have other meetings focused on those other topics, but I think building our collective capacity with at least one retreat could be another way that we could tone this down from three retreats, but still keep some elements of that.
I would agree with that completely. Is exactly what I was going to say. The retreats were so informative. I felt I learned more, so much more from them than anything else we've done as a board. That while there is a lot on the plate, I think having one, I mean, is there a way we can leave this in place with not having three retreats, but having one retreat? Because I think that setting was just such, it was very rewarding. I came out of there feeling like I learned a lot more on those dates than I had at the trainings before our board meetings. Not that they're not wonderful, but it was a focused period. It was a focused time just on that one thing. So I would love to see us at least hold one retreat if we can.
I think we
can. Does that work in the board?
Is everyone good with one? Sorry, I can't see you all, so I assume by not hearing someone say no, I want seven, we're good to go.
I will stop sharing so that you can see everybody.
So it seems like one will be, maybe not on all of those topics at once, but...
to be identified.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I will reword those and send it all off to you. That is really all I was here to do this evening. I wish all of you a very restful summer. Thank you for your service to the children of Clinton Township. I know it has been a long year for a lot of folks, and we truly appreciate our board members and everything that you do for the kids in your community. So thank you. It is wonderful that you continue to persevere and do good things for kids. So thank you all very much. As always, it's a pleasure to see you. I look forward to seeing you the next time, not in a box, but in person, in real life and without a mask. So stay well, stay healthy. I will get this back to you, and have a good evening and a great summer.
Thank you, Mrs. Thornton.
You're welcome. Everyone take care.
Be well.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. I did want to mention, I saw someone with a hand up after a public comment. There will be another comment section at the end of, towards the end of the meeting. Okay. Now we are going to move on to the report of the business administrator, Mr. Creamer.
We have several board actions tonight. The first one is our approval of the May minutes. The next few, we did a RFQ, request for qualifications from multiple law firms. The finance committee reviewed the proposals, and we are going to be selecting several attorneys, giving their strengths, appointing them to their area of strengths. And one will be for the general counsel and board governance. We'll have Shank Price and Porzio. We'll also have a general and special education attorney, the Machado Law Group. For the labor relations, collective bargaining, the Skrillo Law Group. And for public contract construction facility services will be Shank Price. We also, back in April, I believe it was, we received requests for proposals for architects. The board selected two, DRG and Summit Perret. And we have several projects that are coming our way, and we requested proposals from both of them for each of those projects. And the first one is the science rooms for renovating the Summit science rooms for RVS. The committee is recommending using DRG, the window replacements at PMG. Again, the committee is recommending to use DRG. The upgrade or the replacements for the Airedale units, the committee is recommending PSA. and the air conditioning for the gym and cafeteria at RVS. The committee is recommending PSA. And those are all the resolutions that are under board action. If there are any questions.
Okay, looking for a motion for 21BA64 through 21BA72.
Motion.
Thank you, Ms. Oliver. Looking for a second.
Second.
Thank you, Dr. Grantham. Questions? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Dr. Brasher?
Yes.
Ms. Creighton?
Yes. Am I not on mute?
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Hornick?
Yes.
Ms. Oliver?
Yes.
Dr. Liamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Passes.
With that, we will move on to facilities and finance. Dr. Grantham, may I please get your report?
Yes. So Ms. Brennan, Dr. Brasher, and I met with Dr. Roberto, Mr. Kramer on June 24th at 4 p.m. for about 2 hours. Our next meeting will be on July 22nd. Dr. Roberto provided comments on several topics: work-family connection, request that the district waive or reduce use of facility fees for the summer camp program. 11 students were enrolled in work-family connection in 2020-2021. The committee supports the superintendent in making the district facilities available for organizations who request to use them in the 2021-2022 school year. Pre-K is moving from Spruce Run to PMG. In addition, the pre-K head teacher is also relocating to PMG to provide support there. The Spruce Run custodian will also be transferred to PMG. And the committee is happy to support the superintendent's recommendation to offer field trips for students during the upcoming school year. The committee reviewed the facilities and finance resolutions on tonight's agenda and is asking the board for their support in passing these resolutions. Those include 21FF-066, approval of bill lists, 21FF-067, acceptance of the monthly financial reports, 21FF-068, approval of transfers, 21FF-069, authorizing awarding contract to Delta T Group for substitute services, 21FF-070, approval for the removal of stale checks and deposits. Thank you to Mr. Kramer for cleaning up our books. 21FF-071, approval of the fiscal year 2021 capital reserves. 21FF-072, approval of fiscal year 2021 maintenance reserves. 21FF-073, approval of vendors for anticipated contracts in 2021-2022. 21FF-074, rescind prior action item 21FF-065. 21FF-075, approval of district security camera upgrade. 21FF-076, approval to clear inactive lunch account balances, as described by Mr. Kramer earlier today, does not impact any current students. 21FF-077, approval of the 2021-2022 facility use fee schedule. 21FF-078, approval for payment of claims using EFT technologies. 21FF-079, approval to submit application for change of use educational space. 21FF-080, approval of revised 2021-2022 municipal tax levy payment schedule. And 21FF-081, approval of program relocation for 2021-2022. The administration also provided some additional updates. So they provided additional purchasing training to improve the purchasing process in the 2021-2022 school year. Additionally, the decentralized budget will also assist each building administrator on spending oversight. We are very pleased to report that the audit field work for the 2020-2021 audit is scheduled to start in October, and I'm confident Mr. Kramer is getting us ready well in advance. His team addressed all of the 2019-2020 findings and provided a certificate of implementation to the state. So congratulations to Mr. Kramer on that. Upon further review, Mr. Kramer does not recommend moving forward with replacing the stage floor at CTMS. Over several visits, he observed the humidity in the space was at an acceptable level, and there was no evidence of the floor cupping, which was the reason we were considering it. And the district received approval for, oh, this is also very exciting, an energy audit from the state through the Energy Savings Incentive Program. The next steps are an in-depth review, including an on-site visit that will take place over a three-month period, which will include the verification of the application, an inventory of the district's equipment being used, and interviews with staff. Mr. Kramer, do you have anything that you would like to elaborate on?
Just a couple of things. The security camera upgrade, we're rescinding the resolution that was passed back in May. The state requested a little bit of language modification, but at the same time, there were updates to the costs from the proposals. So that's why we're rescinding the original security camera upgrade resolution. Also, I want to, there are two resolutions relating to the capital and maintenance reserve. I just want to let you know that the dollar amounts there, that's for us to determine at a later point, up to a dollar amount where we could take funds and increase our maintenance and capital reserves. But I also want to stress to the board members, once you do that, that money is off limits. If you put money into the capital reserves, it's got to be for capital projects. And if you put money into the maintenance reserves, it's got to be used for routine maintenance within the district. Also, I just want to remind the board that in the upcoming year, fund balance can go from 2%, has been authorized for us to increase fund balance if we wish to from 2% to a maximum of 4%. Also, the resolution, I just want to say for the EFT technology, there was a state local finance notice that went out, and it requires the board to approve on an annual basis the process for approving electronic fund transfers. So there is a resolution for today, and that resolution will be carried forward to the organization meeting. And then each organization meeting, that resolution will need to be approved. Those are my elaborations that I wanted to mention. Thank you.
Do any other committee members have anything that they would like to offer or add? Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I'm looking for a motion for 21FF066 through 21FF81.
Motion.
Thank you, Dr. Rehomaki. Looking for a second.
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Creighton. Any questions? All right, no question. Roll call vote, please.
Dr. Brasher.
Yes.
Ms. Creighton.
Yes.
Dr. Grantham.
Yes.
Mr. Horning.
Yes.
Ms. Oliver.
Yes.
Ms. Brennan.
Yes.
Yes.
You skipping me? I vote yes too.
I didn't want to pronounce your name. Dr. Rehomaki?
Yes.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Now it passes. Okay, now we'll go on to personnel. Mr. Hornick, I think you said Ms. Creighton is going to be present. Okay, thank you.
Yes. the personnel committee met on Wednesday, June 23rd at 5:30 for about an hour and a half. And we went over quite a bit of information pertaining to the district. We had discussed the approval of a director of special project projects carryover days. We discussed teachers that are currently on accommodations and are happy to announce that we'll be our teachers will be in person for the next school year. Additionally, we talked about with the changes going on for Spruce Run School, the new transfer process that formally
Ms. Creighton, you froze, I believe. Others.
I don't have her anymore. Or I'm gonna lose the internet.
Thing is, we don't know if she could hear us.
Yeah. Let me text her. Oh, we just lost her. Okay, so they did actually share with me. Give me one moment, please. Let me know if she comes back.
And I have, I mean, I also have the notes because I was reviewing the notes.
I have the notes also.
Except that my cat seems to have broken my mouse and it will not let me bring them up.
Where was she ending? All right, she was talking about, okay, I have preschool, will now be relocated to
preschool. I have it too, if you need it.
Oh, someone just knocked.
She was talking, Mrs. Creighton was talking about transfers, and if the teacher is transferred to a new building, it has to be board approved. And that's why Schedule A on the agenda has so many people. I'm happy to report that after extensive interviewing, we have candidates for our world language opening. And Miss Ingram will be relocated to the middle school, and Dr. LaFabe will be relocated to PMG. We hired one temporary summer employee for the technology department. We're watching the situation because over 100 of our students will keep their Chromebooks for foundations. Did you find where you want to, did you find it? You want me to keep going? Yes?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Okay. There are no structural changes in the organizational chart. Mr. Kramer and I next year will both be working with food service and transportation, and he will be a point person, and summer hours start July 2nd. All right. And next year, we will all be in person. So that's very good for our district, our kids, everyone. And Ms. Creighton, please add everything. We miss your voice.
I don't know what happened, but I'm sure you covered it very well. I looked at our notes.
I had your minutes. I have all your notes.
Yes. Thank you.
No, thank you. You have to ask if there are any questions.
Are there any questions, or is there anyone else that would like to add anything?
So looking for a motion for 21P156 through 21P174.
Motion.
Oh, all at once. I love it. Thank you, Mr. Brannick. Looking for a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Brasher. Any questions that came up between now and then? Oh, none? Okay, roll call vote, please. Mr. Kramer, you're muted.
Thank you. Dr. Brasher.
Yes.
Ms. Creighton.
Yes.
Dr. Grantham.
Yes.
Mr. Hornick?
Yes.
Ms. Oliver?
Yes.
Dr. Miyamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Passes.
Thank you, Ms. Creighton.
I missed the motion. Who made the motion on that?
Mr. Hornick.
And the second, please?
Dr. Brasher.
Thank you.
Okay, we will move on to Ms. Oliver. Thank you for stepping in for Ms. Kaltenbach, who is not here this evening.
All right. Hi, everyone. The policy committee met on Tuesday, June 22nd, from 4 o'clock to about 5:30. In attendance was myself, Ms. Kaltenbach, Dr. Brasher, Dr. Roberto, and Ms. Brennan. Tonight we have a first reading of a mandatory policy and regulation on earned sick leave that adds mandatory wording changes based on executive orders. We are updating our policies and regulations to bring our wording into compliance. We also have the first reading of Regulation 7510, Use of School Facilities, mandatory adoption, clarifying and codifies use of schools for various groups. This regulation sets up which groups have access to facilities and also adopts state mandated policies and regulations about training all people who are using our facilities on safety and security drills. We are abolishing several policies tonight in an attempt to streamline our policies and regulations and avoid conflict and redundancy. Policy and Regulation 7430, School Safety, is being abolished since it is covered in several mandatory policies and regulations. The included policies and regulations were covered in several existing policies, such as P2431, Athletic Competition, R2431.1, Emergency Procedures for Sports and Other Athletic Activity, P7432, Eye Protection, P7420, Hygienic Management, P7440, School District Safety, and P8420, Emergency and Crisis Situations. We are also abolishing Policy 2415, a policy put in place under NCLB, which is No Child Left Behind. When we had annual yearly progress AYP markers to meet and teachers needed to be highly qualified under certain criteria. While our teachers are still highly qualified and we still hold ourselves to a high standard, NCLB is no longer applies because New Jersey has submitted and been approved for an alternative accountability system. And finally, we're abolishing policies related to the Family Leave Act 3431.1. 4431.1. These last four are older policies that have been combined or contained outdated information and are addressed by the policy up for a second reading tonight, which is 1643. And also up for second reading policies, which were discussed at our last meeting, 1643 is family leave. Mandatory combines several policies into one, including mandatory changes. 1653, exit interviews. 5511, dress and grooming for students. 6520, payroll deductions. And 7510, use of school facilities. And that is it from the policy end. Any questions or anyone who wants to add anything?
Great job.
Thank you.
I am looking for a motion for 21 PR 23 and 21 PR 26. Was that right?
Motion?
Through 26. Surprise. Dr. Grantham? Looking for a second.
Second.
Thank you, Dr. Riamarki. Any questions? Okay, roll call vote, please, Mr. Kramer.
Dr. Brasher.
Yes.
Ms. Creighton.
Yes.
Dr. Grantham.
Yes.
Mr. Hornick.
Yes.
Ms. Oliver.
Yes.
Dr. Riamaki.
Yes.
Ms. Brennan.
Yes.
Passes.
Thank you. Dr. Iyamaki, you are last up.
Thank you. So here's the report from the curriculum committee. The committee met for 90 minutes on Thursday, June 24th. In attendance were Dr. Roberto, Ms. Hinkle, Mr. Hornick, and myself. We discussed the agenda items, which are extensive this month. So you can see that they include a few out-of-district placements, a reimbursement for professional development, the submission of a grant to the coronavirus, I'm going to say it all out, not the acronym, Coronavirus Response and Relief Supplemental Appropriations Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Fund 2. And that would be funds that are targeted to help with the district's response to COVID. Also on the agenda is a approval of a dissertation related study using district data, acknowledgement of the conducting of our emergency drills that happened this spring, the acceptance of a donation from Unity Bank for the hot air balloon that was used at the eighth grade boardwalk extravaganza. And shout out to the PTA and Mrs. Brennan for hosting that and doing an awesome job. Also approving a contract with High Consulting Services, an accelerated math program for one of our students, the timing of staff orientation and a professional development program on problem-based learning, a new language learning disability program at Round Valley School, a contract for support for PowerSchool, and an Every Student Succeeds Act Consortium Memorandum of Agreement with Reddington Township School District. We also have the annual approval of our instructional materials list, mentor text list, CST instructional materials list, accommodations list, and course list, and the approval of our world languages curriculum, which is required each year by CUSAC. We should all note that this particular curriculum area, and as with many others, will be revised this summer and the revision will be approved next year. So this is sort of a formality this time around because it's almost immediately going to be changed. Finally, we acknowledge the submission and posting of our safe return plan, which was already addressed by Dr. Roberto in her comments. Not on the agenda, but topics that we discussed included the status of the Summer Foundations program for our youngest students and planning for the next school year, which again has been previously addressed this meeting, but it included in our discussions the calendar for families and for the staff, the possible formats for back to school night and parent-teacher conferences, and things that from the curriculum perspective should be considerations for the return, the eagerly awaited return of field trips next school year. Okay, so that's my report. Are there any other things that should be added or any questions?
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
What is the LLD, the Language Learning Disability Program? What is like the gist of that curriculum at Round Valley?
Dr. Roberto, would you be able to address that?
Yes, the LLD program, all programs at schools are developed based upon the students requiring that program. So that denotes children have either moved into Round Valley School and it's a new program there, and that's why we established it. And it's based upon the individual services and the individual modifications to instruction the children require in their individual educational plan.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Ingram, am I good on that?
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I hate to put you on the spot, but I want everyone to know everything.
Okay. With that, looking for a motion for 21 CUR 89 through 21 CUR 105.
Motion.
Thank you, Dr. Iyamaki. Second?
Second.
Oh, who was that? I think it was Ms. Oliver.
Yes.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Dr. Brasher?
Yes.
Ms. Creighton?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Hornick?
Yes.
Ms. Oliver?
Yes.
Dr. Viamaki?
Yes.
Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Passed.
Okay, and now, actually, you weren't last, Dr. Viamaki. We have Dr. Brasher, who's going to give her a report from the Ad Hoc Superintendent Search Committee.
Thank you. So that the Ad Hoc Search Committee, Superintendent Search Committee, did not meet this month formally. However, we do have some activities to report. As our search consultant, Ms. Thornton, who was just here tonight, mentioned earlier, she has provided us with a search process calendar, and we've worked together to tweak it and make it work for our district. And that is actually now posted on the district website. To find that, you just go onto the Board of Education heading at the top of the district website, scroll down to the superintendent search tab, and there you'll see the link. Click on the link for the search schedule and you can see what the plan is. Obviously, it's subject to future revision as needed, but this is our target. Next month, the board will be working collaboratively on developing a job posting that will be released broadly this fall to start searching for applicants. The board members have now received their pre-work forms so that they can start thinking about and putting input into efficiently working together on this next month so that we can put together this job posting. And we will start requesting input from the district and the full broader community in September, October timeframe to get representative thoughts on key characteristics of a permanent superintendent. So more to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Brasher. Okay, now we are on to old business. Anyone with old business? Seeing none. Anyone with new business? I will say, I guess it could be new business. I attended the graduation. It's one of my favorite events that we attend, and it was wonderful, thankfully. Even though there's some dark clouds, we ended up good, and all the kids looked like they had a great time. So I'm so happy we were able to have that. Any other comments?
Can I add something to that, Ms. Brennan? I would just like to say, attending that as well, it was very refreshing to hear from the group of eighth graders that were only in middle school for such a short amount of time, how level-headed and confident they are in themselves and knowing that they have a very bright future ahead of them. So I would like to say, as a board member, it's very refreshing to hear all the students that spoke at graduation and to see all the kids that walked there. They have a bright future ahead of them, and they're a great, great group of kids for sure. So congrats and props to all you teachers and administrators there working hard every day for them.
Thank you. With that, if there's no additional new business, at this time, we've reached the second public comment section. If anyone in the audience would like to address the board, click the participant button at the bottom of your screen. On the bottom right side, there should be an option to raise hand. Alternatively, there have been some updates, and some may find the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen when you click reactions. We will recognize you and unmute your microphone. If you could then please state your name and address. Each person will have up to 3 minutes. We will attempt to answer all questions once everyone has had the opportunity to address the board. If there are any phone numbers showing at the time of public comment, we will unmute them to allow them the option to comment since they are unable to use the other feature. This comment section will be limited to 20 minutes.
Lana, we have one hand up.
Okay, yes, thank you.
Good, Mr. and Mrs. Christopher.
Hi, good evening. Dr. Roboto, board members, Clinton Township School District faculty and parents. It's a pleasure to be here. And I thank you, Dr. Roboto, for your genuine, caring remarks in regards to the children and the masking. My husband and I would like to respectfully share some information regarding children wearing masks during the COVID-19.
Hi, everyone. My name is Christopher Stadoulis. We live at 4 Briar Lane in Clinton Township. I understand that as of today, Governor Murphy announced there will be no mask mandate from him going into the new school year this September, unless something dramatic occurs with the numbers regarding COVID. He stated it's up to the school districts to decide. Based on the 67% of New Jersey residents that are vaccinated and the many who got COVID and built an immunity to it via their immune system, because hospitalizations and deaths are not a concern, are the concern, not cases and transmission rate. Currently, there are far less adults susceptible to severe symptoms that would require hospitalizations from COVID or worse, death. The percent of teachers and other faculty in schools having been vaccinated is probably even higher, which further mitigates any risk. The bottom line, hard evidence shows children are just not affected by COVID, nor are those around them while at school. Therefore, children should not be required to wear masks, but should be made optional. And with all due respect, no matter what Governor Murphy orders or what the CDC, DOH, or NJDOE recommend, we should be implementing policies at the local level based on the data and science, not merely based on recommendations or orders. When some of these recommendations and orders are not in line with the science and data, which is what has been driving these policies for the past 15 months. COVID statistics and expert data. Children are largely unaffected by COVID with an infection fatality rate and hospitalization rate of virtually zero. This is an established scientific fact recognized by the CDC. Based on the data, children are less likely to be negatively impacted by COVID than vaccinated adults. Cloth and fabric masks have not been statistically proven to protect the wearer in any clinical trials. The CDC and NIOSH, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, states cloth and surgical type masks does not provide the wearer with the reliable level of protection from inhaling smaller airborne particles and is not considered respiratory protection. As per the FDA, face masks are designated as experimental for emergency use with no long-term safety trials for child daily use. Masks add no advantage or protection for children, but they certainly have a negative impact on all of our kids, as stated by the countless caring parents advocating for their children all across the state of New Jersey. Mask adverse effects: headaches, migraines, dizziness, lethargy, bloody nose, skin lesions, rashes, and acne on the face, skin breakdown behind the ears, poor dentition, which includes increased cavities, mouth sores, and abscesses, are some of the adverse effects from mask wearing with children. Clearly, the risk of side effects suffered by our children outweigh the perceived benefits of continued mask wearing. Even the New Jersey health assessment data shows that only 3 children between the ages of 5 and 18, school-age children, have passed away with or from COVID-19. When you have 40 died of cancer, 37 of suicide, 32 of homicide. Nationally, 51% of school children have not been required to wear face masks for the past month, and there is no outbreak of cases, hospitalizations, nor deaths. An overwhelming majority of children in the state of New Jersey go most places without a mask when not at school, and we are not seeing hospitalizations or deaths, much less case surge within their age group, nor are they showing to be a direct threat to anyone else.
I apologize that you went over your 3 minutes.
All right, I have one question, if I may ask, and I'm going to not discuss any more about, I had more. I feel the most important question here is, what is the reasoning behind continued mask wearing for children in schools? Stating it's for everyone's safety, or we are following orders from the governor or guidance from the CDC, DOH, or NJDOE does not provide any sort of scientific explanation that warrants this extreme, unnecessary, and harmful requirement.
Thank you. Are there any additional hands or numbers?
Seeing none.
Okay. Seeing that, I'm going to close the floor to the second public comment section. And as we've said previously in the meeting, this information that just came out today, we need to go through and the plan that was posted, again, was made based on the current situation.
All right.
So yeah. we will be working, Dr. Roberto and the administrators will be coming up with what the process is.
All right, thank you for letting us speak. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, our next meeting is scheduled for July 26, 2021 at 7:30 p.m. Thank you everyone for joining us this evening. I am looking for a motion to approve the above executive session resolution for the board moving into closed session to discuss legal matter pertaining to potential litigation, personnel matter relating to the superintendent's evaluation, student matter relating to HIB, and negotiations relating to the CTEA, wherein the length of time for the executive session is expected to be approximately 30 minutes. And upon returning, action may be taken.
Motion.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Oliver.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Oliver. Looking for a second?
Second.
That was Ms. Creighton. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The time is 9:42 p.m. Okay. Looking for a motion to reconvene public session?
Motion.
Thank you, Dr. Rehomaki. Second?
Second.
Okay, Ms. Oliver.
Oliver?
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Time is 10:28 p.m. Looking for a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Thank you, Dr. Iamarki. Second?
Second.
I got Dr. Grantham. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We are out. Time is 10:28 p.m.
Ms. Trattner, Ms. Lefevre, and Mr. Daniello, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Everyone have a good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good meeting, everybody.
Good work,
thank you.
Bye.